This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run with Philip C. Tan Chen Li, and I'm Wong Shaoning. It's Thursday, the 10th of March. In the meantime, let's recap how global markets closed yesterday.
Yesterday was a pretty good market for the U.S. market, at least. Dow was up 2.2%, S&P 500 up 2.6%, Nasdaq up 3.6%. Asian market yesterday, Nikkei closed 0.3%, Hang Seng down 0.7%, Shanghai Composite down 1.1%, STI up 1.5%, FEM KLCI up 1%.
So if we look at markets, right, clearly it's a bit more of a risk-on phase. In fact, even in Asia, even though markets closed pretty much in the red yesterday for the major North Asian markets, indications are that futures in Japan, Australia and Hong Kong at this current moment are all up. Clearly, there's a bit of dip buying on even on the S&P 500. It was actually the biggest gain that we've seen, daily gain, since June 2020. And even the Euro Stoxx 50 rallied the most in 2 years on speculation that the recent rout had priced in the impact of sanctions. So the bargain hunters are out. Look at Brent crude this morning, down 12% to $112 only. It wasn't too long ago and it was $130 a barrel.
Exactly. I think what you're seeing here is also not only US, but Europe also was performing very well yesterday, right? Across the board, FTSE, DAC and also CAC, all upward swing. As you say, right, the commodities all feeling the pressure downwards.
Yes, and it's all because of the news that Ukraine and Russia may potentially have a neutrality standpoint. Maybe, we don't know.
Okay, but to tell us where global markets are heading, we have on the line with us Song Seng-Woon, economist at CIMB Private Banking. Good morning, sir. Now, risk on rally for US markets last night. Is it time for bargain hunting?
Well, I suppose after 4 days, so was it 3 days, 4 days? I know it's a few days of selling. You know, you sure get dip buyers itching to come back. So I suppose it's a case of market looking for a break and excuse for perhaps a window a break in the war is really good enough reason.
So where are the opportunities?
You must be a good trader in terms of looking at what we have seen. We have seen defensive stock, we have seen energy stocks, we have defense related stock, getting a bit of a lift up, and then in the relief rally, you just flip over and just see what has got really hammered, especially on the growth side of the market. And this is what we have seen so far with European and US stocks, and I suppose this will carry through to Asia this morning, joining the sharp rebound in the US and European, just essentially looking for stocks with fundamentals that really had slumped the last 2 weeks, the reaction to the war. Mm.
Yes, and let's talk about oil. So there's a lot of volatility with oil prices, and OPEC has been keeping relatively quiet. What do you think the cartel will do in the coming weeks, despite prices correcting sharply last night back to $110 a barrel?
Yeah. I think we really would love to fit in with one of their gathering to see to what extent they want and can push oil higher without triggering a global recession. Certainly, oil fell last night, and certainly this morning on expectation that there could be more supply, even as sanctions continue to be imposed on Russian oil. So we'll see to what extent that mechanism. Remember, we had occasional whisper and talks of U.S. and allies releasing from the strategic reserve. So occasionally, it's just when you have prices going up too high, a bit of profit taking coming, and extra oil supply coming through may help. I would say, you know, as long as prices hovers around 100, 120, maybe 120 to 130, the risk of global recession is there, but haven't tipped global economy into a recession. So I think this is where they perhaps want to keep things so-called within that range itself, hot but not too hot.
Excuse me. And talking about recession, you know, one thing that could perhaps push that to happen is if the Fed's actually over-tighten, right? So tonight, we're going to see CPI and jobless data come out. Do you think the Fed will hold back on their hike, considering, you know, like what you say, oil prices, global slowdown, inflation because of high commodity prices?
No, again, just to reiterate, triple no, I would say. Basically because, yes, while U.S. drivers are complaining about how much their gasoline costs and to put into their big automobile, the U.S. economy is still creating jobs. You know, last night jobs that may came in just below expectation, but we're still seeing, I suppose, economy generating more jobs than can be filled. We're certainly still hearing bosses complaining about hiring, and certainly the slack in the economy. We talk about the slack in the economy, very important from the economic standpoint. If the economy capacity, whether it's from the job front, machine front, slacks all around are being taken up, and they are, it certainly suggests that consumer demand will likely remain firm enough to keep pressure on prices. So they have been late in raising interest rate. So I think he's trying to play catch up. It's still close to zero. So moving from close to zero to just above zero is still very accommodative, even in this time of uncertainty. I think more important worry comes from energy costs, from commodity costs, metal costs. All these are still hovering at record high level despite the pullback yesterday.
I mean, Jay Powell said likely 0.25 basis points. You know, we're about 5-6 days before the meeting. Is there any more data that will come out in the next 3-4 days that will inform the Fed? Or is it really cast in stone?
Really, it's inflation. Numbers are coming through, inflation figures coming through, producer prices coming through, in terms of just broadly, just the weekly retail sales figures, to what extent people are still upbeat. So I think sentiment still plays an important role as long as I think Americans still feel that the war is still far from them and what they are seeing on the ground matter more in terms of how much their prices they pay for their grocery, how much it costs to fill in their tank, that still would drive sentiment. So if they're still able to take those higher costs in stride, then it will still mean that the economy still continue to give up the slack, and that still means that the U.S. Central Bank still have room to move on the interest rate and monetary policy in general.
Do you think that the inflation rate, have we seen the peak already?
No. I mean, this is February CPI, and with oil prices chugging, you know, to, even though they pulled back, like you said, in the U.S. sliding more than 10% to below, I think, U.S. 110 a barrel in New York, it is still, you know, close to double where it had gone up from. So, and commodity prices, as I say, have moved up. Supply disruption continue to persist even now, even where we have, I suppose, peace talk going on today, primarily because disruption continue to linger on. And it's unlikely that while war may pause for now, the disruption and supply from Euro and the sanctions on Russia will persist for a while. So this will keep commodity prices elevated and will continue to move into CPI, certainly much more higher in March. And to what extent, how much it trickle into April remains to be seen for now.
All right, thank you for your time. That was Song Seng-Woon, economist at CIMB Private Banking, giving us his views on markets and ending the note that inflation is here to stay. If anything, we're likely to see that figure creep up, right? Because the data so far is just February numbers. Hasn't it taken into account oil at $130 a barrel, nickel at all-time high, wheat at all-time high, you name it, everything's at all-time high.
Even the prices you see in March will trickle down to the coming months ahead. So we don't talk about February, even the current March numbers for oil will trickle down very much.
Yeah, and very quickly, I'm seeing a headline across Bloomberg, and that's Amazon. They're planning to split the stock for the first time in more than 2 decades in a move that would spell the end of four-digit stock prices for the biggest U.S. technology company. So they're going to do a 20-to-1 ratio split under a plan disclosed late Wednesday. But guess what, guys? It doesn't make a difference to the valuations of this company. Don't be fooled just because the absolute price is lower.
It's to placate to the retail investors. But look at the price, $2,785.58.
A share. Maybe
goodness.
That's why Jeff Bezos is one of the richest men in the world,
possibly.
Right?
Possibly.
Yeah. But other interesting news we have is Bumble. And we've actually covered this on our show. We spoke to Matthew Martino, who's a technology analyst at like Bloomberg Intelligence. They listed last year, but their share price hasn't done so well, but saw it last night.
Yeah, so Bamboo Shares saw as much as 48% last night, the highest in more than a year, after giving an outlook for annual revenue that was more optimistic than Wall Street estimates. So the company expects revenue for the full year to be as much as $944 million, while analysts has projected $939 million.
Before Bumble released its results on Tuesday, the stock slumped by around 50%, reaching an all-time low as investors were cautious over Bumble's exposure in Russia and Ukraine. Now, Bumble is discontinuing operations in Russia and Belarus and is forecasting a loss of $20 million in these three countries of Russia, Ukraine and Belarus. They contribute in total 3% of Bumble's annual revenue.
So it looks like there's no love in Russia at the moment, right? Affected. Very quickly, Biden, Joe Biden, he, president, of course, has signed an executive order that calls on federal agencies to take a unified approach to regulation and oversight of digital assets. So they will focus on six key areas, but in particular, consumer and investor protection, which probably explains why this morning cryptocurrencies are all in the green. Ether is $2,719, up 0.42%, while Bitcoin is $41,978, up a little bit by 0.2%.
I wonder if regulation legitimizes it, makes it more mainstream, isn't it? And that's why there's so much upside potential now with this potentially, even though I think people still debate about its utility.
The other thing is that Biden administration also wants to explore a digital version of the dollar, right? This is all the DFI that we've been hearing a lot and a lot about.
CBDC.
Keep it here. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.